Acts 23. Paul looked intently at the council and said, "My brothers, to this day I have conducted myself before God with a perfectly clear conscience." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered his attendants to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will surely strike you, you whitewashed wall. There you sit to judge me according to the law, and then, against the law, you order me to be struck?" The attendant said, "Are you insulting the high priest of God?" Paul answered, "Brothers, I did not realize it was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of the leader of your people.'" Now Paul knew that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees. So he cried out in the council, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope of resurrection of the dead." As soon as he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was split. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, while the Pharisees accept both of these. There was a great clamor, and some of the scribes from the Pharisees' party stood up and protested strongly, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit has spoken to him, or an angel?" As the disagreement was increasing, the tribune, fearing that they would tear Paul apart, ordered his troops to go down, snatch him from among them, and bring him into the fortress. Next night, the Lord, standing by him, said, "Courage, just as you have borne witness for me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also in Rome." When day came, the Jews made a pact, binding themselves on oath, not to eat or drink until they have killed Paul. More than 40 of them entered this pact. They went to the chief priests and elders and told them, "We have made a solemn vow to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Now it is for you with the council to explain to the tribune that he should be brought down to you as though you mean to examine his case more closely. We, on our side, are prepared to dispose of him before he comes near." However, the son of Paul's sister heard of the ambush and made his way into the fortress and told Paul, who called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune. He has something to report to him." So the man took him to the tribune and reported, "The prisoner Paul summoned me and requested me to bring this young man to you. He has something to tell you." And the tribune took him by the hand and drew him aside and questioned him in private, "What is it you have to report to me?" He replied, "The Jews have made a plan to ask you to take Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they mean to inquire more closely into his case." "Don't you believe them? More than 40 of them are lying in wait for him, and they have vowed not to eat or drink until they have got rid of him. They are ready now and waiting for your order." The tribune dismissed the young man with the order, "Tell no one that you have given me this information." Then he summoned two of the centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready to leave for Caesarea well before midnight, with 70 cavalry and 200 auxiliaries. Provide horses for Paul and deliver him unharmed to Felix the governor." He also wrote a letter in these terms: "Claudius Lysias to His Excellency, the governor Felix, greetings. This man had been seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them, but I came on the scene with my troops and got him away, having discovered that he was a Roman citizen. Wanting to find out what charge they were making against him, I brought him before their council. I found that the accusation concerned questions of their law, but that there was no charge deserving death or imprisonment. Acting on information that there was a conspiracy against the man, I am sending him immediately to you, and at the same time have notified his accusers that they should state their case against him before you." So the soldiers, according to their instructions, took Paul and escorted him by night to Antipatris. Next day they left the mounted escort to go on with him and returned to the fortress. On arriving at Caesarea, the escort delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. When he had read it, he asked Paul what province he came from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers arrive." Then he ordered him to be guarded in Herod's praetorium.